Good to see you. I was telling Pastor Mickey, it feels like so many of you are new faces that I don't remember from last year, and some of you I do, but it's great to meet you. And I'm a very relational Enneagram 2, if that relates to anyone, where I would love to know your story. So come meet me after if you want. I would love to get to know you personally. This just feels right. This feels right to be here under a disco ball. I just feel very in my element. So as Pastor Mickey said, I'm so honored that article I wrote spoke to him, which was like a year and a half ago. And we were chatting, and he was saying that the people want a sermon on singleness. And I was like, okay, yeah, do we? Do we want that? Now we're all shy. We do. Okay. So we're gonna go there. But I specifically want to cater. I don't want to isolate anyone in this space. And so kind of on the note of longing, that's really the key theme I'm going to take us through today is longing. We'll focus on singleness, but I know that many of you in this room, whether you're married and maybe there's a longing for children, maybe there's a longing for healing after a diagnosis or sickness, or maybe there's a longing for something new, right? Maybe you're in transition, whatever that longing is, I want to speak to that because I think all of us struggle with longing, right? That's the tension we live in. So with that, let's pray and we'll dive in. Jesus, we thank you so much, God. I'm just so grateful for this space. I'm so grateful for worship. I just thank you so much for the worship team leading us through such a powerful reminder of your love and how you see us and how you're all that we need. I just think that's the message we need to lean into today, God. And so, Lord, now I pray, Holy Spirit, that whatever we walked in here with, would we just leave it at the door? Would you give us deep insight through your Spirit, God? Not through me, but just use me as your vessel, God. Say what you want to say through me, God. And we're just excited to know to see what you're going to do. We're expectant, Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name and faith. Amen. Amen. Okay, so can I just dive in and say it can be hard to be single sometimes? Amen? Sometimes. It can be hard to be single as a Christian in the church. And I can't tell you guys how many conversations I've had with people where it's the constant, you know, should I get on a dating app? Should I not? Where are all the good guys? Where are all the good girls? Let's be real. There's always good girls, right? It's the guys. Just kidding. Just kidding. Right? But the awkwardness, the chaos, et cetera, et cetera. Can I go there? I think I can. Okay, I like this crowd. I like this crowd. I'm just kidding. But really what I think makes things a little bit more complicated is the mixed messages that especially as Christians we can receive, right? And I've been confused. I'm sure maybe you've been confused. I kind of want to give you maybe two examples of mixed messages. And the first is this message of it'll happen when you least expect it, right? Just stop thinking about it. Be patient. Trust God. Become the best version of you, and it'll happen when you least expect it. That's on one hand. But then we get the mixed message of, it's not going to drop on your doorstep. So try harder, right? Are you putting in enough effort? And I don't know about you guys, that has thrown me for a complex. I'm kind of like, God, so how much do I do? How little do I do? How much do I trust you, right? And that paired with the, you know, experience of hearing from many people of, I just met them in the supermarket, right? So it's a mixed message. The second one, you do not need a mate to complete you, which is absolutely true. You do not need a mate to complete you. Pair that with the mixed message of you're not complete till you get married, right? And I would say especially in the church, unfortunately, I don't know why we've done this, where there kind of is that singleness is a holding pattern, right? You're waiting for what's next. Don't worry. It's just a season. This too shall pass. It's kind of the way it's directed. And so I want to just touch on this right out the gate. Please hear me say this, that marriage is not the end goal of life. Marriage is not the end goal or the state of ultimate bliss or completion or arrival, right? But with that, I know that many of you here today, including myself, might have a desire for marriage. That's a great thing for companionship, for love, for all of that. It's a great thing. And I just really wish the church did a better job addressing this topic. So both in frequency of how often the church talks about it and how we talk about it. So this sermon is not going to be wait and trust God and it'll just happen. I'm sorry, not sorry, right? This is not going to be that sermon. You know, become your perfect self and God will bring it. No, I unfortunately think that the church has kind of used that as a blanket statement to just kind of deal with single people. And that's not okay, right? Because it's kind of like, well, what do I do with my waiting? How do I trust you, right? And you know, for me, it wasn't until I was around 27 where I kind of started experiencing like a deep desire for companionship, marriage. For me personally, just my story, high school, college, early 20s, I didn't really care that much. I think I was just busy living my best life. I don't know. I just was like, let me figure out what I'm doing. I'm adventuring, all the things. But it wasn't until around, 26, 27, and maybe you've been there, where suddenly everyone starts pairing off. And I was in a church home where everyone kind of seemed to pair off. And then I was like, oh, and I'm still single and I have this desire. And I began to look to the church and to godly people around me to kind of help me process, like, how do I hold this, right? Where is my person kind of thing? And that continued, hit 30, right? So that single season continued. At 30, I had my first really serious relationship. And we broke up after 6 months, which was really difficult, and it was the right choice. But then yet again, even after that breakup, we broke up the day before shelter in place, if anyone remembers, March 6, 2020. So we went straight into a pandemic. And kind of bring that up till now, right, 4 years, I'm now 34 and still single. And by the way, ladies, we never have to share our age. However, I'm voluntarily sharing my age because I still get ID'd and people still think I'm like maybe 24. And maybe in 10 years, I'll appreciate that. It's the Persian genes, maybe. But I'm 34. And no, I just share that to tell you I've waited a long time. And it's a deep, deep desire. And it's been a hard journey. So I just want to be raw. And this is going to be a raw. I'm in it. So it's a raw sermon. But I want to go there with you. And, you know, I think it's so normal, church, and if you're like me, where you have maybe that unmet desire, to kind of pray or think things like this. I think I have a slide. These are actual conversations I've had with God when I've talked to God. God, are you mad at me? Am I doing something? We're not receiving what I want. God, why are you so silent about this? Right? For me, especially the last 4 years. I mean, God, it feels like crickets. Like, why are you so silent? God, I want to keep asking you for this because it's a good desire and I know that, but how can I be content if you don't answer it the way I want, right? And then finally, I want to trust you, God, with what you're doing, but I'm just disappointed. Anyone can relate? Yeah. Pastor Cheryl Denise Baker says this, don't let disappointment dictate your belief in the Lord. Let your belief in the Lord determine how you process disappointment. Isn't that so good? Let me read that again. Don't let disappointment dictate your belief in the Lord. Let your belief in the Lord determine how you process the disappointment. Belief in the Lord. I think that's a good starting point, right? And I wonder for you guys sitting here listening to me right now, what are your beliefs in the Lord? What do you know and believe to be true of God in your longing? This became a really unique piece of the puzzle for me in my singleness and my longing. Where, as I was processing, and again, a lot of time sitting with this, I came to this reality checkpoint where I realized I am not guaranteed that God is going to answer every single prayer I pray in this life, right? That's just not a guarantee. And unfortunately, it might sound kind of like, basic. I think that, again, the church has sometimes led us astray with maybe more of kind of like this prosperity gospel-ish way of, if you're a good person, if you do the right things, if you read your Bible enough, you will get every single thing you prayed for. Anyone else? Right? And that's not true. And so I know that might sound kind of like womp womp, Nassim, where are you going with this? That sounds like a downer. Hear me, there's hope, right? But I want to set that foundation because I think it's so key to have the correct theology of God, right? And what we can expect of God to be true, right? God is not this cosmic vending machine that you just put in a thing, pray a prayer, and you get everything you want, right? And yet, with that, the good news that God is such a good father. He's such a kind, loving father. He gives us so many good gifts and blessings. And he tells us, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, keep hoping, right? That's our God. God is so much more than just this being that wants to give us things. I felt like someone here needed to hear that. He is so much more than that. God invites you to get to know him for who he is. God invites you to get to know him for who he is. And that takes me back to belief in the Lord, right? This quote I just read. What do we know to be true of the Lord? And as I heard that quote, I sat with it for a little bit and I began to process that. And I was like, Lord, what do I believe about you in my longing, right? In my disappointment. I want to let my belief in the Lord take precedence over my longing, right? Over my disappointment. And so church, here's what I know to be true, right? As a pastor, as a friend, as a sister, I cannot guarantee that if or when God will answer all of your longings. We just can't. We have to humbly admit that. I can't speak for the Lord. Here's what I know to be true. And please hear this. This is where I want to steer us today. God can use our deepest longings to draw us closer to him and to display the power of Christ at work in us. Let me say that again. God can use our deepest longing, whatever you walked in here with, to not only draw us closer to him, but to display the power of Christ at work in us. I want to encourage you with that reality because that's the God that we believe in, right? That in any longing that we have that we're wrestling through, there is a power that is activated by Jesus Christ, and that is the hope and the passion I want to impart to you today. Okay, are we ready? Yeah? So what do I mean by power of Christ? Maybe you're sitting here like, that sounds really Star Wars force within me, maybe. What do I mean by that? Can I take us on maybe a little theology deep dive? Well, a theology splash in the pond. Can I do that? A one-minuter? Okay, this is important. The gospel, which is the good news, right, for those of us who know and follow Jesus, it is so much more than a ticket to heaven in the afterlife, right? That means good news for us here and now. The good news is that in following Jesus, you and I are united to him. We are united to Christ. So important for us to remember that. What does this mean? This means that you and I being united to Christ, the power of Jesus is dwelling within you and I right now. Right now. In your good days, in your bad days, in your longing, in your satisfaction, there is a power at work in you right now because you're united to Jesus. Right? When Jesus came and ascended, he said, I'm leaving right now, but I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for that is parakletos. It's so beautiful. Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, our comforter, our counselor. Those are the words the Bible uses to describe the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is alive and active in all of us right now, right? That is something to be excited about. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians. Read this with me. He says, yes, Jesus was nailed to the cross and died as a weak human being, but he now lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, we, like him, are also weak human beings. But you will see that, like him, we also live by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're thinking, where is she going with this? What does it have to do with singleness or longing? Here is this. With that theology, if you're wondering, what does this power do to help us in our longing? Put another way, one of my friends was like, just simply put, how can I do single well, right? How can I do my longing well? I think that there's something that God wants to do with our longing, church, and that is to lean into perseverance. That is to lean into perseverance. It's kind of like living in a tension of every longing I walk in, I'm going to persevere, okay? And so I want to give you this promise and this guarantee, Christ's power gives us perseverance in our longing. This is not just a sermon about like pull yourself up from the bootstraps, not at all, no. This is about how is Christ's power active in my longing? And that's his perseverance, right? We see this modeled so perfectly in the life of Jesus. And I wanna give you kind of like, where do we find perseverance in the word and what does it actually mean? The Greek word for perseverance in your New Testament is a word hupomone. Say that with me. Hupomone, it's beautiful. And here are a few synonyms and definitions that you'll find to translate hupomone from Greek to English. You'll see these synonyms depending on what Bible translation you read as well. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance, a patient, steadfast, waiting for. I love the word constancy. We don't use that enough, right? I want to start using that. Constancy. One Bible commentary, the scholar said this. In the New Testament, hupomone is the characteristic of one who is not swerved from his purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trial. So beautiful. One who is not swerved from his purpose and his loyalty to faith. We see hupomone all over the New Testament. Just to give you two quick examples, Jesus in Luke 8:15 says, we bring forth fruit by our perseverance. Right? We bear fruit in our lives as we persevere. And I'm sure many of you, if you've read Paul's letters, he talks about perseverance producing our character, right? Perseverance refines our character or endurance. And the cool thing is that hupomone is always paired with the steadfastness of God, right? That's always our anchor point. It's almost like we can endure because our source is ever enduring. Amen? So now with this theology, with this foundation I wanted to lay the groundwork with, this belief in the Lord, right, that Christ's power develops perseverance in us, where do we go from here? What does that mean for the single person? What does that mean for the longing person who wants a baby in this room or listening to this online? Here's what I want to encourage you with today is three things that perseverance looks like in our longing, right? Again, it's not just like, let me just like, you know, submit to, it is a surrender, but it's not just like a passive work that the Holy Spirit does. There's almost like this partnership with the Lord, right? Our walk with God is just that. It's a walk with him. So what does perseverance look like in our longing? Here's what I want to impart to you today. Active trust, confident hope, and commitment to community. Okay, I'm going to take all three one by one. Active trust. I think one of the most common things I hear among singles that I talk to, or even those who are longing, but specifically singleness, is this notion of I don't understand. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've said this. I've said this. I don't understand why it's taking so long, right? I don't understand why this date was so awkward and ended. I don't know, right? I don't understand, God, what you're doing. I don't understand, God, why you feel silent. God, I feel like I'm a good catch. So, what, you know, the list goes on and on, but it's kind of like, I don't understand. And singleness, like any roller coaster, can have those ebbs and flows, right? Those dips into anxiety, fear of the future, worry, depression cycles, the list goes on. And I was going to share just from on my perspective, being in ministry, I guess I didn't realize how much harder it's kind of made dating and kind of even just my thoughts on it and whatnot. And God is doing a lot, but I was trying to think back to like where this thought came from that it's almost like become harder now. Cause I don't think the seed was planted in me specifically. And I wanted to share with you something. Like Pastor Mickey said, I've been working in ministry for 8 years now. And 2 years ago, January of 2022, I was officially commissioned as a pastor. It was like a few weeks after I preached here, actually. You guys prayed over me, which was so kind. And I remember that day where I was officially commissioned. It was like one of the best days of my life, truly, today. It was such a sweet day. But as we all know, kind of one comment can kind of sit with us, right? And so in the sea of all this greatness that was happening, I overheard someone in passing say something, and they didn't mean it in a bad way. I know their intention was not wrong, but you know, people just sometimes say things, and you're like, hmm. And they said this, something along the effect of, wow, dating is going to be so much harder for her now because she has pastor in her job title. And that really just, dang, I was like, oh. And I left, and I remember that thought just crept in, and like any seed that's planted, it kind of grew and grew. And I would think things like this. I was like, God, I feel so called to be a pastor, right? Like, I feel like this is what I was made to do, to shepherd and to teach and to preach. But man, did I just like shoot myself in the foot? Like, ouch, like, is this really going to be that much harder now? You know, like just kind of like going back and forth. And then on a better day, like, well, I'm not like signing up to be like a nun, right? I'm, you know, like, I'm just a cool girl that like loves Jesus. And I hope a man just comes alongside, you know, like, I hope it's not that difficult to find a man that wants to partner with me. We see that, Mickey and Krista, right? So on and so forth. So those are my good days. But on the bad days, that doubt and that fear is really true, right? It creeps in. Paired that with just a lot of years of silence where I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? It almost feels like, am I making this huge sacrifice, you know? So active trust. Why do I share that story with you? It reminds me of how there's a novelist, Flannery O'Connor, and she says this, my faith ebbs and flows like the seas of an invisible tide. The waves of an invisible tide. And I think that's so true for many of us, where our faith is so wavering and so fickle, dependent on circumstance, right? We go up and down that roller coaster based on circumstance. And friends, may we be so cautious to not base our belief in the Lord on circumstance. Amen? We have a God that we can trust based on his character. Active trust. There's a poet and an author and a professor at Yale Divinity School. His name's Christian Wyman. Beautiful, beautiful work that he's written. And I was reading an interview that he wrote. He's a believer. And he said this in the interview about his observation on Christians. It's kind of sad, but so on point. He writes this, I think you can believe in God and not have faith. I think faith means living towards God in some way. And it's what you do in your life and how you live it. And I read that and I was like, man, how, and guilty too. Like, we can believe in God, but do we really have faith? Right? And that distinction was so poignant. It gave me chills. I think faith means living towards God in some way, which made me think of active, right? Our faith is active. It is an active trust. don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's like a blind trust and a blind faith. It's kind of like, I'm just going to pray and God will do, you know, give me every answer. It's an active trust in the character of God, right? It's an active trust in God's character. And church, we can't trust someone we don't know. You know, I wonder if for you sitting here right now, maybe think of the person you trust the most in your life. It's probably taken a while to trust them, right? Maybe it's taken trial, good, bad, consistency, right? And you trust them. And so I wonder for you guys sitting here, is today an invitation to trust the Lord deeper? If you don't know Jesus here today, is today day one an invitation to trust him for the first time? Or is an invitation to go deeper with him? And I wanted to just give you one piece of practical wisdom. If you're like, where do I start with that? For those who might be more practical in the room, like what does trust God tangibly look like? I want to encourage you to trust him more with your prayer life. That's where I want to lead you to. My prayers in this season have been so raw, and I would use the word lament. I've really, really shared my heart completely with the Lord. And I wonder for those of you here, I want to invite you to know it's okay to go there with God, basically. That's kind of what I was praying for you. I was like, I just feel like as Christians, sometimes we need this veil lifted off that it's okay to cry in front of God. It's okay to tell him how upset I am and how disappointed I am, right? It's okay to just say, God, I feel like I'm out of control. So I'm just going to surrender this to you and like let you do what you're going to do, right? I want to trust you. And with that, the lament takes surrender, right? With all of you with longing in this room. Whatever that longing is, I don't know each of you, but I know you all have something. There is a specific kind of restful awe. It's kind of like the words that you were singing in the worship song. There's this awe and this peace that begins to fill you when you trust the Lord. It's kind of like, I can just take a breath. And even as we were singing, I was just reminded of that. It was so cool. It's like as you're praying to the Lord, as you're saying, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm so disappointed. And yet your character is so good. You're my sustainer. Right? We look to the Lord, the Psalms especially, like it talks all about God's character as sustainer. You uplift me. You comfort me. And it's just like, oh, I can rest in that. And church, I've needed that as a single in my waiting so much. Active trust. Active trust that no matter how things pan out, God is a good father that you can trust, right? So what does perseverance look like in my longing? Active trust paired with confident hope. Confident hope. Active trust and confident hope means that I still hold my desires for what they are, right? Our desires and our longings hold a lot of weight. So I wanted to pair those two together because yes, trusting is one thing. It's surrender. Hoping is, hey God, these are my desires and they're really real and they really matter. So please hear that. Your desires absolutely matter. And I'll be honest with you. I was just sharing this with my mom last night as she asked me how I was feeling for this sermon. And I told her, I was like, Mom, I don't think even 3-4 months ago, I would have been able to say yes to preach this sermon. I really don't. And that's just me being really raw. And, you know, last year, 2023, was a season for me where I think now the words I'm putting to it is my hope felt deflated, a deflated balloon. My hope felt very, very deflated, both in this longing about singleness, kind of just the sense of, I think the best way I would describe it is almost I had good intentions. I think my intention was, I don't want a reason to be mad at God if he doesn't answer, right? If he doesn't do this, I don't want a reason to be mad. So kind of like I went into self-preservation and I was like, I just won't pray about it as much, right? It started there. I'll just leave it here. If God answers, great, right? It's not a guarantee. I'm not entitled to it. We'll just leave it on the shelf. Pray about it less. Good intentions. But if I'm being really honest with you, that began this, the balloon of hope being deflated, right? And I started realizing I literally was beginning to put all my eggs in one basket, meaning all my hope in God, all my trust in the Lord was unfairly being placed on this one longing. Like, God, if you don't answer this prayer request, then you suck, right? Then you don't know what you're doing. You're not a good father, right? And it kind of turned into legalism in a way where I was like, man, that's not fair, right? And so with the deflation of hope in that specific longing, more than that, and more importantly than that, I began to feel a deflation of hope in just who God is, right? And who he is as my father. And it wasn't until one day where one of my best friends, who's like a sister to me, on a beach in Sicily, of all places, during my sabbatical, pointed that out. And thank God for friends who sharpen us, right? And who kind of say, and it's in the most loving way, just kind of like, Nas, I feel like your hope has just totally deflated, both in this, but also in just how God sees you as his daughter, right? through that awareness, I really began a new journey with the Lord about hope. If I were to sum up 2023, which is funny, it was my Jesus year. I turned 33 in 2023. I just turned 34. But it was kind of like my hope was resurrected, literally. Not to be cheesy, right? But it's 33. I felt like hope was resurrected. Not in the sense of, you know, I mean, I'm still, on the one hand, there was a sense of I'm going to keep praying about this fervently, right? I'm not going to lose hope. But more than that, God, what are you doing in me in the meantime, right? There's a transformative work that God is doing us in our waiting. So maybe not lose that hope, right, of what he's doing. Theologian Henry Nouwen says it this way, much more eloquent than me. He says, a waiting person is a patient person. The word patience means a willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full. This is the kicker. In the belief that something hidden will manifest itself to us. In the belief that something hidden will be made known to us. So what is that something hidden for you, 99 Church? What is that? I just mentioned for me, that something hidden has absolutely been hope. It's been confident hope. As one mentor friend told me at the end of my sabbatical, I encourage you to dare to hope. Isn't that powerful? Daring to hope. And as I've been reflecting on that in the last few months, I'm like, man, isn't hope such a dare? It is. It takes a risk. Think about when you were a kid playing truth or dare. Your heart is like pounding in your chest before they ask you to go do the dare, right? That is what hope should look like for us. I'm going to dare to hope in this. That's been such a lifeline for me in this season. And I know I've been quoting a lot in this sermon. Normally I do quote, but not this much. But I share that because these pastors and these teachers have truly been a guiding light to me in this season. And I just wanted to share their wisdom with you because, again, I'm still so in process. So I want to give this wisdom away to you as it's been such a great nugget for me to chew on. So with that, the late, great Tim Keller, who I'm sure many of you know, writes this. So beautiful in his book called Prayer. Highly recommend. It's a long quote, so hang with me. He writes, "The final thought of every prayer must be for the help we need to accept thankfully from God's hand whatever he sends in his wisdom." On one hand, right? On the other hand, we are invited to intensely, specifically, and repeatedly make our needs known in prayer with confidence they will be heard. How beautiful. How beautiful. Active trust, confident hope, right? Active trust that, God, I'm going to accept whatever you send because you're good and you're trustworthy. On the other hand, I'm going to keep intensely, specifically, repeatedly making my needs known to you, right? And hear this. Notice that he says, they will be heard, not answered, right? They will be heard. And I think that that's so beautiful, knowing that you and I are heard. Our Father hears us. He's such a good Father. He sees you. He hears you. He knows every need and longing even more than you and I know. Amen? So we can actively trust. We can confidently hope. Keep asking. And trust that you are his beloved, right? You are his, you're more loved than anyone on earth could ever love you. By your Father. And this final piece, what does perseverance look like in my longing? Act of trust, confident hope, commitment to community. Those first two encouragements for perseverance are specifically for the longing person in the room, which I would argue is all of us, right? This third piece is not only for the longing, but I wanted to include this for the community too. For maybe if you have someone in your life who is single and longing, I'm going to focus specifically on singleness for the singles in the room. And if you're listening to this, if you have a single friend, because guys, I really believe that we cannot do this life on our own, right? We can't. And so us being gathered here today, I just hope that you know that there's so much power in the gathered body of Christ, right? The Big C Capital Church. We carry each other. Amen. We have faith for each other, right? That's what we are. So this is not just like Sunday morning, let me just go do church. I really hope when you guys come here, you're expectant. There's someone that God wants you to carry in this space right now today, right? Let's have that awareness every time we step into church, every time we step outside these walls. We are his hands and feet, right? We're his body. We persevere in community. Amen? Pastor AJ Swoboda about singleness in the church writes this, "Singleness is actually an invitation to the church to open its doors and to be hospitable, gracious, loving, and to create space. Not to create second-class citizenship status for the unmarried." Can I get an amen? So with that beautifulness, I want to add one more thing. This is probably the last thing I'll share from my story. I didn't realize I was going to go so vulnerable, but here we are. I really do think I need to share this. Is for those of you who are single in the room, maybe you can relate. In addition to kind of feeling that sense of wanting companionship or longing as you're single, there can also be a sense as you grow older of kind of this feeling of being left behind. And you know what I mean? Kind of like, especially for me being 34, I realized from 30 till now that sense getting even more and more, where you've kind of gone past the shock of like all your friends getting married maybe in one full swing, right? 1 year I was a bridesmaid like 8 times. and that shock has kind of passed. Yeah, really expensive. But we love it. But then the older you get, then those friends start having a kid, right? And then they have their second kid. And you're like, oh, shoot, this is right? Like, and I'm still single, right? And so I think for me, something I've realized is like, there's some friends where we both started single, and I've seen their entire cycle of like dating, marriage, first kid, second kid, buying a home, moving. And I'm like, oh, and I'm still here. And that feeling of like, am I left behind? Or have I not arrived according to the American dream, right? Have I not arrived because I haven't hit those certain markers, right? And I think that sense of being left behind can almost in a way maybe splinter or fracture certain friendships. And I wonder if many of you in this room could kind of feel that sense of like, man, I don't know if I feel as close anymore, because that's reality, right? Seasons change, priorities shift, right? Capacity changes when people get married and have a kid, right? And for the singles, I cannot urge you enough and because of that to be in community with people who are in your same season. And for others who are not in your season to come alongside you to support you. We need each other. And so kind of with that sense of like not being left behind, I wanted to just give us, as I kind of start to close and land this ship, just 3 really practical ways that I believe the church can model better hospitality and better care for singles, okay? I think that's really, really important. And these 3 things I'm going to share, I feel so blessed that these are literally things I've experienced over and above that have helped me persevere in my longing. So that's my desire, that you guys would experience this too. I'll give you an example of each in my life, but this has literally carried me because of the people that have been in my life, the church community specifically, the church body. The first is this: for those of you who have single friends, be intentional and prayerful for them. Be intentional and prayerful. What do I mean by intentional? Maybe in conversation, instead of just asking, how's dating going? Because after a while, that, you know, if we're dating, we'll tell you, you know? So maybe, but maybe instead of that, maybe go a layer deeper. I can't tell you, like, some of the questions I've been asked, you guys, are just so profound. This one question that still stuck with me, a friend asked me, Nassim, how is God meeting you in your longing? Isn't that so beautiful? How is God meeting you right now in your longing? And how beautiful is it, because when she asked me that, I'm able to turn it around and ask her, how's God meeting you in your longing, right? Because we all have a longing. And maybe one day for me today, it's singleness. Maybe, you know, next time it's something else, right? We're all going to go through those waves of longing. So be intentional and prayerful. I can't tell you guys how much it's meant to me to have members of my church body, not even friends, just people in my church who've just gotten to know me, send me a text, send me a cold email. Hey, you're on my heart today. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your longing. I'm praying for your future spouse. I'm praying for your future. Praying that God would meet you in the longing and satisfy you, right? And I wonder for many of you, maybe if you have the gift of encouragement even, maybe some of you do, or the gift of mercy, send your friend a text. Those of you who are single and have other single friends, be that for one another, right? Be intentional, be prayerful, lift each other up. We need each other. We really need each other. The second is celebrate their milestones. Celebrate their milestones. I mentioned this American dream, right, of those markers of what considers a milestone. And for the singles in the room, our milestones look different, right? And so for those of you who have single friends, my encouragement to you, and it's going to require creativity, would you get creative and celebrate the milestones of the single people in your life? Right? The same way that singles, we show up. We show up for every shower, right? Every baby bridal shower, all the wedding stuff, the new house. But I wonder, what does that look like for those of us who are married in the room to show up in maybe more intentional ways to celebrate milestones for the single, right? One maybe funny example, but to me, I think you'll think it's funny, but to me, it actually brought me to tears when this happened. During COVID, I mentioned I had just gone through a breakup. And so 2020 itself, I mean, it was hard for everyone, but that season was a unique kind of lonely season for me. And for fun, for creativity, I started a podcast. And I just was so, I loved it. It was like my baby. It was just like my creative endeavor that I did during the pandemic that I was proud of. But what I remember is my three best friends, my tribe of sisters, they threw me a surprise season one wrap party for my podcast and surprised me with a cake and decorated my friend's apartment. And to this day, that was the most meaningful milestone because they made my milestone their milestone, right? They made it important and it was important and they celebrated me. And to this day, it means so much. It carries a lot of weight for me. Celebrate their milestones. That final piece, invite them into your life in a deeper way. Invite singles into your life in a deeper way. I think about my married friends and I feel so lucky again where I don't view them as like, their husband doesn't just view me as like my wife is Nassim's friend. He's my friend too, right? He's the husband is also a brother to me, as is the wife. And I think of those couple friends, and there's four at my church where there are two couples plus me. The five of us are like our own crew, and they've never made me feel less than for like not having a plus one, right? They invite me on trips. They invite me to dinner, to movie night. No question. They don't even bring it up. If anything, I feel awkward about it, right? And I'm, in my mind, I'm, is it okay that I come too? They're like, heck yeah, we love you. We want you there, right? Invite them into your life in a deeper way. Parent friends in the room, the last piece of this. Invite those singles in your room, in your life to maybe play the role of an honorary uncle or auntie, right? Pastor Mickey, when you sent me the video of Zion yesterday saying Emo Nassim, that's what I mean, exactly that. My two of my closest friends in my life, two different couples, they both enveloped me into their life and have made me Auntie Nassim. And I can't even tell you guys how much as a single I did not realize the role of playing an auntie has brought me so much fulfillment. And you guys are nodding. Maybe you've experienced that. But gosh, the love I've received from Kia and Shia and Jude, I don't even think their parents realize how much that has brought me so much joy and love and peace in a season of longing. Invite them into your life in a deeper way. So these are all ways, friends, tangible ways that we can persevere in community as we actively trust and confidently hope. And so as I bring us to a close, you know, I mentioned that feeling of being kind of left behind that we talked about or not arriving. And I had this, as I was preparing this sermon, I had this line come to my mind that I kind of, like, first I was like, oh God, that sounds so cheesy. I feel like people won't, it won't land. And it was so evident that this was just from the Holy Spirit, not of me. And I felt so strong, you know, that feeling in your heart, like I have to share this. And I felt like someone here, maybe all of us, we need to hear this, that you do not need to worry about any form of arrival because Jesus Christ has arrived to you. Amen? You do not need to worry about any form of arrival because Jesus Christ has arrived to you. And what do I mean by arrival? Arrival meaning Jesus Christ has died for you, right? His blood was shed for you on the cross. He resurrected. He's given us access to the most satisfying love we could ever experience, right? And God is our Father. There's no need to worry about arriving. He has arrived to you. And you know, right now, you guys, we live in this sense of, maybe you heard this, already, but not yet, right? Jesus has come, but he's going to come again. And you know, when he comes again, there will never be longing ever again. There will be no sense of longing because Jesus Christ will fulfill all longing. Amen. He will fulfill all longing when he returns. The word says that he will return and our joy will be made full, right? We have joy in glimmers right now. We have the fruit of the Spirit right now. But oh my goodness, when Christ comes back, their longing will just be gone. It will be pure satisfaction, pure, pure completeness. The word talks about shalom, being wholeness and peace. Everything broken will be made whole when Christ comes back. And so my encouragement to you today, I wanted to end on this note, not on the note of just wait and trust God and you'll get a husband or a wife, right? But for all of us in this space, whatever longing you walked in here with, man, may the Lord meet you in your longing through giving you perseverance. And may he give you so much hope that if we persevere now, but that's going to come to a completion. This is not the end, right? That's the hope that we look to, that this is not the end. That's all that matters. And so I want to invite you maybe to, I want to pray over you, but would you close your eyes? And if you feel comfortable, maybe even in a posture of just receiving or surrender, would you open up your hands if that feels comfortable to you to receive from the Holy Spirit? Or just close your eyes. And I want to pray over us, but I want to pray one prayer from Paul. And this is a line at the end of 2 Thessalonians. And it's a very simple one-liner. And as I was chewing on this and thinking about it, I sat with it for like 30 minutes and I was literally just like meditating on it because it seems like such a powerful, dangerous prayer in a way. Paul writes this: "May the Lord guide you into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May the Lord direct you into God's love," another translation says, "and Christ's patient endurance." And God, that is my prayer for my brothers and sisters in this space right now. God, I really want to just like humbly say that's a hard prayer to pray. To be led into your perseverance. Jesus, you were the most persevering of all to the point of death on the cross. So God, I just pray, Lord, that you would equip us in any longing that we walked in here with today, especially for the singles in the room, for the parents who want to be parent, for the parents who desire children, for the married, sorry. And God, for those who maybe want a new job or just feel confused or they're at a standstill, whatever longing, for the sick in the room, for the recently diagnosed, God, you know every single longing that we walked in here with. And God, I pray just as Paul says, would you guide us and direct us into your love? God, I think about being guided. It's one thing to be guided, but it's another thing for me to take the step, right? Someone can say, walk this way, but then I have to take the step to walk that way. So Lord, I pray for the person who just needs like a fresh encounter with your love today. Help them to take that step. Whatever that looks like, it takes obedience, it takes trust, it takes surrender. So God, I pray that as you say, here, I want to guide you. I want to guide you to my love. I want to direct you there. Meet us there. Jesus, we just say we want to be met there right now in this space. We want to go there. We're here. We're expectant. We're hungry. And God, would you also simultaneously, in that trust, in that hope, help us to live a life of our longing with your perseverance. Help us to run the race marked out for us with endurance and perseverance, with constancy. And finally, God, I just want to also pray, this came to mind, for anyone else who feels like their hope has been deflated, for anyone else who needs hope being resurrected in this space, God, I pray, God, because of the goodness of your grace, your kindness, because you say, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep know my voice, I just pray that we in this space would hear your voice again. Hear your voice again saying, you're my beloved. I love you. You're enough. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what you say to us today, God. So Lord, we trust you. We love you. We give all of our longings over to you in surrender. And now we just want to bask in your presence. We want to bask in your love because there's no place else we want to be than in your love, God. Thank you that you're a sustainer, Jesus. And now we look to you in your name. Amen.